You're listening to the Overeaters Anonymous Mid-Peninsula podcast. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. For more information, please visit oamidpeninsula.org.
Janae, compulsive overeater, and this is my home group, so you've all heard my story. So I am gonna, I was reflecting and preparing for tonight and just thinking what I can share that you haven't all heard exhaustively from me. So I, most of my story, so I'll go really light about the past and then I'll share with you kind of where I am today. So going back to childhood, I was raised in Los Angeles, the oldest of three girls, upper middle class family. My parents had some special sauce on them and their parenting techniques. We are kind of, the program has helped me understand that there was a lot of neglect in my household. So even though there was a roof over our head and food on the table, my parents were pretty checked out. My dad was all about work and creating success at the office. My mom was just not able to stay real present with us kids and just had chaos all the time in her choices. They just didn't make a lot of sense. And it was mostly invisible to the outside world. In the outside world, we looked like this kind of pretty little package that was put together. And when in reality, things were just out of control and unmanaged in our home. And the message that I learned very early on was that I'm on my own. No one is going to help me, take care of me, guide me. This is going to have to all be an inside job. And I didn't ever expect any help or, I just wasn't parented real well. So, I did all the normal things. I, did well, did okay at school, went on to college. Had a good early career. I met my husband, got married, had kids. And those early years of marriage were extremely hard. My husband was pretty checked out of the family. He proposed. He thought we would have a year to get married, and I was really ready. So I planned our wedding in 4 months. And then we were pregnant 4 months after that. So this poor guy who, when he finally proposed, my girlfriend said, "Wow, I'm surprised he can get the words out in the headlock you've had him in for the past year." And he thought it was going to be this whole year of prep and, harmony. And instead it was game on, we're getting married, we're getting pregnant. And we just went. So we kicked out a kid pretty quickly, and he was always, very focused on work and didn't help a lot. It was one of the biggest conflicts in our marriage. So we had, we got married very quickly. We had two kids, two boys, 2 years apart. And so it was just this kind of rapid pace. There was not any kind of moving into the harmony of marriage and figuring each other out. We'd never lived together before. We actually never spent that much time together. He lived in Northern California. I lived in Southern California. We would travel back and forth on the weekends. And so it just all of a sudden was, okay, you're together and you have kids and you have finances. And it was like, wow, didn't really plan for all of this. I didn't know what this was going to look like. And things were really, really hard. Our boys ended up having some pretty challenging issues. My older son has Asperger's. My younger one has ADHD, severely hyperactive. And I had stayed home. I had a career. And when I was pregnant with the second child, I stayed home to raise the boys. And that was really hard. I just didn't find a lot of satisfaction in being at home. And I was very fearful about financial security. And my husband had this tendency at the time to come home and often tell me that he was going to be losing his job, that was, you know, things aren't going well, I'm going to lose my job. So here I am, two kids. I have issues with financial security. I have issues with financial scarcity. And I didn't feel I had any stability while he was kind of the primary breadwinner. And so my, you know, message I always grew up with, no one's coming to help me, kind of went into overdrive. And I started a business while the kids were napping. And so I could bring in some extra income. So if you envision, here I am, young mom, two kids with major, major issues. And I'm starting a small business during nap time. So I got to look back on those years and, you know, what was I doing? And my need to create security and safety for myself was so overpowering that there was no self-care at all. And it was just work harder, work faster, work more, more and more sacrifice, more and more just, you know, there was no reserves. I was empty on just going a million miles an hour. And I was really, really committed to finding resources for my kids. My directive was wherever we ended up, I had to know that I put every resource I could against giving them solutions for their challenges. That, you know, if they ended up in juvenile hall, if they ended up on the street, I had to know that I did everything I could while they were under my care. And I bought more snake oil in this town than you can believe. You know, anyone who said that they had solutions for ADHD and Asperger's, we didn't have a lot of money at that point, but I threw everything we had against it. I figured something's going to stick. Something is going to help. You know, we found this wonderful program down in San Jose, social thinking, where they helped the kids with social scenarios. So 3 days a week, we would drive from San Mateo to San Jose in rush hour traffic for all of this training. You know, it was just stretched thin, so thin. But I was determined. That was my number one priority. And I just, in all of this, I got lost. I lost myself. I did not have a moment to myself. I didn't even know how to say to my husband, you know, I need you to take the kids today. I remember when I was pregnant with the second one, I took one nap. And while he was responsible for watching the older child, they went outside and played handball against the back wall of my bedroom where I was napping. Like, there wasn't a lot of help here. I was on my, you know, just like my childhood, I was on my own. I didn't have any expectations anybody else was going to come and help me. I didn't know how to hold anyone accountable. And I put on so much weight through these years. It wasn't the pregnancies. I put on a lot of weight through the pregnancies. But I took it off immediately afterwards, but just over those years of just trying so hard to hold my family together and build some financial security and build opportunity for these kids and hold my life and my husband and my marriage together, my life fell apart. I fell apart. Then on top of it, my mother-in-law, we were the primary caregivers for her. She had a 10-year-long battle with lung cancer. And then my middle sister got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and died 18 months later. So it was just trauma and pain, and just there wasn't a lot of joy through those years. And I just, as I more and more miserable I became, the weight just got heavier and heavier. So, you know, let me see, health crisis, running a small business, trying to manage kids. The food calmed me down and it anesthetized me. I'm grateful for the food as I looked back. You know, this was a lot of pain and a lot of just a lot of burden that I was carrying and so much fear. I parented out of fear. I ran my business out of fear. If you talk to me during those years, it was like I was always running And I was like being chased by someone with a gun, just, my pacing of my conversation was just, I was frantic. I found Program, and for the first year, I was so miserable in my body, 183 pounds on 5'2" body. So I found Program. I did OA for the first year. I lost 20 pounds and then I plateaued, and I met with my sponsor one time a week. And I worked the steps, but I didn't get it. I didn't have the tools. I didn't have discipline. I didn't have the structure I needed. And then I found Hal through a fellow, someone just who's in these rooms with us. You know, she invited me to lunch, and it was the most fulfilling, satisfying lunch I'd ever had. And the portions were enormous. I couldn't believe, as she was making the servings and weighing it out, I was like, you know, we get that and we get that and you get that. Like, what? I just was disbelief. And just slowly over the years, undoing all my preconceptions about what it looks like to eat in a healthy way. I'm never hungry. I'm so satisfied. And I'm so, my food doesn't talk to me anymore. I have my meals and they're over and I'm satisfied. And when I joined Hal, I stopped drinking. I had to stop drinking. And that was amazing to me. I didn't realize the intensity of what was being pushed down with the food and the alcohol. I don't identify as an alcoholic, but I certainly was using these things. When I really put down the food with Hal, I was a train wreck emotionally. I kept telling my husband, I'm not okay. I'm really not okay. I feel like my insides are on the outsides. And I ended up in the hospital with a panic attack. I was convinced I was having a heart attack. And I was shocked by the intensity of what I was using food to manage. And at the time, my husband, I remember we were in the hospital, and the doctor said to me, because my husband said something to the doctor, like, he said, my wife is a type A. And the doctor explained that they call it type A because you have heart attacks. That's the A. And, you know, and that's exactly what was going on. This type A, this person, like, I've got this, I'll manage it. I'll take, you know, my kids, you know, I'm going to manage all of this stuff, and I'm going to start a business, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to take care of my sister. And, you know, yeah, type A. And I'm suffering inside. And in these rooms with Hal, I learned to ask for help, something I never knew was even an option. I got guidance. I was so humbled by the pain that I was in. You've all showed me a kinder, gentler way. And the miracles I've found in my life from being in this program, you know, my marriage was a classic codependent cycle of an overperformer and underperformer. I think you can guess which role I played. And now we are in a true partnership. We are a team. My husband quit his job, came to work with me. I mean, I'm still just blown away that works. And we did so much work in advance. He's in another 12-step program. And, you know, I always thought he was the problem. And wasn't it fascinating when I started making changes that he straightened out? I was the problem. You know, I parent my kids differently. That's an amazing change. And life, you know, for the first, I'm going on 6 years in this program, and life has been damn good. I was living a fairy tale. And, you know, I've always heard people talk about that pink cloud, and I'm starting, it was beautiful while it was there. The color pink is very appealing. I liked it a lot. And now I'm in a really, really hard cycle right now. A lot of shit just hit the fan right and left. And, you know, the promises don't tell us that we aren't going to have problems, right? It's life is not always going to be beautiful. Life is not beautiful right now. My father was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, same disease that took my sister. My business has absolutely imploded. You know, supports our family of four, and it's pretty much gutted right now. My children are in transition. My older one just graduated. Oh, I didn't say my kids with all their issues, they're fantastic. They're just killing it. They are absolutely on fire. But the older one, my Asperger's, my little Aspie guy, graduated from college this year. And, you know, all of my need to control and, you know, how is this guy? He's always worked. He's worked since the age of 14. But, you know, those were retail jobs. Those were little, how do you get a career? And I'm, you know, I'm puppet mastering all of this. And he's saying, I got this, I got this. And sure enough, you know, it's been hard. It's hard not to default into my old ways of parenting where I want to direct traffic. And it makes me really uncomfortable to sit back. But the kid got a job last week and his dream job, he's on a career path. It's just fantastic. And then the thing that, you know, I go through all these things, like my dad has cancer, my work's exploding. But you know what I'm the most upset about is that my weight is up. I'm the most upset about that. And I see five more minutes. You know, I'm older, I'm perimenopausal, and the food all of a sudden just, it's not working in the way it's worked for the last few years when I've been in how, and I'm having to make changes and cut things out and work out more. And, you know, I'm pissed. I'm just pissed. I don't want the food to be loud again, but I'm also willing. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to stay in harmony and peace and not be caught up in the cycle and the diet mentality. So with all of this going on, I'm leaning on program heavily, so heavily. And yeah, I'm in a point of transition of what am I meant to be doing, right? So I always lived, you know, living in the place of being a fear-directed life. You know, what did I have to do to take care of us financially? What did I have to do to take care of my kids? And now the question I'm posing to myself on a daily basis is, what does a God-directed life look like for me? What does God want me to be doing? I'm trying to quiet the fear and foster the faith. And I'm trying to lean into my beliefs that a God who loves me is going to find a path, you know, show me a path that's meant, that I'm meant to be on. And then I'm okay. I need to have faith in that, that, you know, when my self-talk, I have to be so careful with my self-talk. Lately it's been, I'm a loser. I'm, you know, what I created is a fluke. That I couldn't possibly do it again. I'm getting too old to have value. I'm not current or relevant. And, you know, all of that. So, you know, you've got the fear that, you know, so we've got drivers, right? So is it going to be the fear? Is it going to be this just kind of self-loathing? You know, that's horrible. And I know there's a kinder, gentler way. And I also know what it looks like to be on a God-driven path. The road rises up to meet me. I've experienced it time and time again. I don't see the path right now, which is very hard. But I know that I cannot control all the elements around me. I can't control my dad's health. I can just show up and be present. In a lot of ways, I can't control what my clients are going to do or the opportunities that are going to be presented. I can do the work. I can also need to accept that my children are young adults and I need to stay on my side of my street with them. As I was preparing for this, I was realizing, because you know, I always served as kind of like a dictator with my kids. And I realized dictators get overthrown and expelled. And if I can be a cheerleader, cheerleaders get invited to hang out. And that's where I want to be with my kids. You know, I want to hang out with them. And so I'm really trying to be in that space and, you know that I've, you know, I've done my job of raising them. Now it's their turn to use their tools. And so I go back to the promises over and over again. And I love the one that, like, fear of economic insecurity will leave us, right? And there's so much. I always volunteer to read the promises because I've lived it. And it doesn't say to us that we are not going to be absent of hardship. And what I keep going back to right now is that, you know, life is a roller coaster. And I've never stayed always at the highs, and I've never stayed always at the lows. So what tools do we have that just make this journey? It doesn't have to be treacherous, right? It doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to shred me in the process, which is always where I was, that I would just throw everything I had at it. And everything else, right? While I'm dealing with my problems, I'll take your problems too. And I'll manage it all. And we're going to get all this shit together. We're going to get this shit under control. And, you know, it's, if I can be quiet and listen, and that the path, I have faith that it will unfold. And I just have to manage my anxieties to do and master and dictate. And I do believe that things are going to right, that little roller coaster is going to start working its way up again. And I just kind of want to be at peace in the process. And I want to be at my healthy body weight again. I need to have 5 pounds to get off. So, grr. Because it is about being skinny, right? And it's not. It's about all the other issues and the serenity in the process. But it is nice when I'm in my skinny jeans, too. Thanks. That's all I've got.